this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator. Thank you so much for downloading episode number 3 of Art for Your Ear, an artsy podcast that brings the funny, interesting, behind-the-scenes stories from my favorite contemporary artists to you. My lovely guest today is LA-based photographer Stephanie Vovis. If you know her work, super sexy, golden, 1970s glamour, all of which you can find on my site today, thejealouscurator.com, you might be surprised when you hear her talk. That's all I'm saying. Okay, before I call her, I'm so happy to tell you that this episode is brought to you by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. Thanks, Saatchi. Okay, let's call Los Angeles. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Danielle.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. It's so nice to chat to you.
You too, always. It's a treat.
So I've decided that there's a bit of a theme for this particular episode.
Okay.
It's sort of a comfort zone and lack thereof episode.
Ah, I can relate.
Because, so your photographs are just so, so beautiful. So beautiful, in fact, that I really, really wanted to shoot with you. And so I did. And boy, oh boy, was I out of my comfort zone. And I happen to know that you're a tiny bit nervous about doing this. And I think it's kind of hilarious that I, a year later, almost exactly a year later, get to push you out of your comfort zone.
Yay. Thank you. It's so fun.
You're welcome. I thought that was kind of funny.
It is funny. You're getting me back.
Although,
I feel terrible because that you didn't feel comfortable, because it's always my goal that people are comfortable at a shoot. But
well, no, that wasn't it. It had nothing to do with you, because once the shoot was underway, I was really comfortable. It's just I'm such a control freak that it was, I mean, you pushed me out of my comfort zone. The hair and the makeup and all this stuff was like so not me, which was really fun. And I could kind of roll with that. It wasn't until afterwards. And then, you know, I was like, oh my God, who was I trying to kid? I was trying to be a model. That was the problem. It had nothing to do with you.
Well, you were awesome. And it should be like play and being in a fantasy world.
Oh no, I want to do over.
I like to treat it. You can have it anytime.
Okay. I want to do over because I think, I was too in my head.
Yeah, you do have to find a way to get out of your head to do it and liberate your mind.
Well, that was actually one of my first questions for you, is how do you actually have photographers like tricks for making your subjects feel comfortable?
I just try to get close to them at the very beginning and chat and make sure that they feel good. And then there's a lot of chatting beforehand, like preparing and discussing looks. And then there's champagne, which is the key, I think, great, great thing to add to a shoot. But a lot of people don't need it or don't want it because they want to be in control. But I call it my creative juice, and it works.
I need more of that next time, because I think I drank like a quarter of a glass.
Oh yeah.
Because I was so nervous. So I think next time, like maybe 4 glasses.
Yeah. And then you won't be nervous at all.
No, I might not even be conscious.
Whatever it takes. Although it's funny, I was thinking of this because when you came here to do your book signing and you asked me to be, you know, at the table in front of the people with you, I was like, oh my God. And so we had champagne beforehand, or I did.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I can do this.
And I don't think I did either. I think I ordered it, and I think, again, I drank like an eighth of a glass. I was just too nervous.
Yeah, but you rocked it.
Well, it's so funny with talking stuff. As soon as I start talking, I'm completely fine. It's just the beforehand. So maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I need to get better at that part. You're perfect at it.
What, the talking part?
Yes.
Oh, I can talk till the cows come home. It's just getting my picture taken that throws me. You know what else I think it is with you too, though, is I was so surprised when I met you because I'm going to put a whole bunch of your work up on my site, which won't be new to my readers because I've written about you 5,000 times already. But
thank you.
Your work is just so bold and sexy, and so are you. But when I met you, we met in LA for the first time a couple of years ago now, and I don't know if I think I expected you to be like your photos, and you are beautiful and sassy, but you were so sweet and quiet, and you have this little voice, and I think honestly that's probably a huge part of what puts people at ease. It's just your way, you know, you're just so gentle and quiet. And like when I was shooting with you, you know, just your little voice, like, okay, well, why don't you try doing this? And I was like, okay, I'll do whatever you say with that little voice. So I don't even know if you mean to do it, but I have a feeling that's probably, it's just what you were meant to do.
Thank you. It's funny because I wouldn't recognize that myself, but my team, Stephen, who you met, and Courtney, makeup and wardrobe, they watched the whole thing happening, and I'm kind of in my own bubble, and I always get made fun of, and it makes me laugh because they're like, oh, and can you take your top off? And I'm like, I sound like that, and it's just a joke every single time. And then they always say, people will do anything for you because you're sweet to them. And I'm like, well, they're posing for me. And I'm so grateful. And, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing. And
sort of a give and take, I guess.
Yeah. And I very much honor that and that they're giving to me. So it's a gentle... I couldn't do it any other way, I guess. Mm-hmm. I know other people probably are much more bossy and different. But
I think that is the case. I think, and, you know, not that I expected that from you. I didn't really know what to expect from you when we met. But, yeah, you just have such a lovely way about you. And then I think it's just such a funny, like, it's a really cool dichotomy with your work, you know?
When everyone says when they meet me, they're like, oh, you're not what I expected. But I think it's just because I live probably vicariously through my photos. Mm-hmm. And I make the pictures that that are my fantasy and that I want to be living.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. These are my fantasies and my fantasy life. Like, that's how I would be.
Yeah, like if you could be at a party with just your bra on and a glass of champagne and half-naked men around you, then you'd really be living the dream.
Yeah, all 70s out with great hair.
And yeah, that's right. 70s hair and makeup and everything's gold.
Yeah.
Love it. So let's get back to the all-important, could you maybe just take your top off? your trademark. I think that this is just so cool. So I know this story, but I'm just going to get you to quickly tell this story of sort of how you started that, you know, you went to school for photography, right?
Yes.
And then, but you ended up not doing it as a career for a big chunk of time. You were working as a designer at a magazine.
Yes.
But what kind of magazine?
Well, we can call them men's magazines.
Okay.
Of the, I guess, well, they were, you know, girly magazines. They were porn magazines, really. This was before the internet was really huge. They weren't awful. They were, of course, well, let me back up and just say, okay. Yes, I went to photo school, and then I moved to Portland, had some great photo stuff there happen, but I moved to LA because I love Portland, but I got kind of bored. I wanted something, a bigger city. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to LA, boy, it was big, and I didn't know anyone except my sister, and I didn't know how to navigate the photo world at all, and I kind of lost my way with that and ended up designing porn mags and photo editing them for a long time. It became my full-time job for years. And I would still shoot, but not like as my career. Mm-hmm. And it helped me, I guess, learn how to photo edit. There were, you know, lots of benefits to it in ways, learning how to do magazines, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. And then the recession hit, and I lost my job doing these magazines, and it was really well paying. But so suddenly I had no work and all this time. Mm-hmm. So I just started shooting again, and I took a class, and I was broke because I had lost my job. I spent the last of my credit on a digital camera, and I don't know, things just started happening. It wasn't easy, but here I am.
So now. Amazing. And for everybody, we have to tell, this is like the best full circle thing, to go from, you know, working on those porn magazines, wishing that you were shooting, but just not having time because real life, you know, like day-to-day job had taken over.
Yes.
But now you're a full-time photographer, and in January you shot the cover for Playboy.
Yes.
That is so awesome. Like there's the first chapter in your memoirs.
Yeah, it was a thrill. And it wasn't, it's funny because it wasn't related in any way. It's not like I had connections to that from doing the magazines at all. So I think that's funny. And oops, sorry, there's a fire engine.
Oh, that's okay.
By.
That's LA.
but yeah, and it was magical.
It's so great. And so do you think, I've actually never asked you this, do you think that your time working on those magazines influenced the way that you shoot now? Like sort of that sexy, you know, kind of vampy look. Do you think that it came from that, or were you shooting like that before?
No, I don't think it had an effect in that way at all. Mm-hmm. But I think it made me extremely accustomed to seeing nudity.
Right.
And that not being any big deal. But fashion-wise or that kind of thing, no.
No. Yeah, because you have a very distinct, like, and I love that. I mean, that's kind of out of Playboy's realm of, you know, the way that they shoot. Like, I love that they brought you on to get, you know, and they let you do your thing. They wanted that 60s, 70s golden kind of look instead of, you know, the typical sort of thing that you think of with Playboy. Like, they hired you for you, which I just think is so exciting.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, they were like, what do you want to do?
Oh my God. That's so, I'm going to put those images up on my site so people can see what they were. They're so beautiful.
Thank you.
And so what, you know, that 60s, 70s sort of vampy thing that you always do, where, you know, do you love old movies like that, or where did that come from? Why are you attracted to that?
I thought about this, and I think it's just from childhood. When I was little and Charlie's Angels was on TV.
Oh yeah. Enough said.
Yeah. I wasn't old enough to stay up and watch it, 'cause it was on at like 10 at night or something. And I would hide like in the hallway so I could watch it as my parents watched it. And I was so in love with Charlie's Angels. I couldn't believe their hair and their outfits, and it was glamour to me. And,
oh my God, I love that.
And I just was extremely mesmerized by the Charlie's Angels women. And I went, even before that, like when I was not even a teenager, I would go like buy Vogue magazine and all the fashion magazines at my drugstore. Like ride my bike there and go get all the fashion magazines because I loved fashion.
Yeah.
So I think it progressed from there, and then Charlie's Angels hit, and I was like, wow, love these ladies.
No kidding. Oh my God, that's amazing. And you can completely see that in your work.
Yeah, I guess, and it's developed more because I could research more of that era. And
right. Maybe that should be our do-over.
Yes.
Charlie's, yeah. But we got to get you in there too.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, well, let's keep talking about being out of comfort zones, because a really cool project came up for you this past year with Land of Nod, which is not Playboy at all. So Land of Nod is a children's retailer out of Chicago, and they do beautiful, really high-end everything for kids. And I work with them, and they saw your work actually in a show that I curated in LA, I believe.
Yeah.
And then all the pieces got put together, and they contacted you to do a shoot. And they told me, they're like, oh, we're going to reach out to Stephanie and ask her to do a shoot. And I thought, what? Like, how is that going to work for this children's retailer? You're going to get Stephanie, who just shot the cover of Playboy. And and so you actually felt pretty out of your comfort zone when they called. You thought they were joking, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Michelle is wonderful. We emailed, and then she's like, I'm coming to LA. Would you like to get a drink? And I said, sure. So we got a drink, and she's like, I'd like to do something. Have you do something for Land of Nod? I was like, okay. But I thought she was joking, but she wasn't. She was for real. And that night we started talking about things, and sure enough, it was real. And it was scary for me, of course, because I don't even know any children. I mean, I live in a world that I don't have access to kids. I don't have friends that have kids, which I know is very weird, but so I didn't even know if I could relate to kids. But
well, because we had dinner sort of right after this happened. I was in LA for something, and you were like, how am I, but what kids, like, how am I gonna pull this off? And I was like, I don't know, but I totally think you will. And you totally did. They're amazing. I'm going to put those up on the site too, right below the Playboy cover.
I know, it was like a schizophrenic last year.
Tell us what did the shoot end up, what did you guys end up deciding to do, and how did you feel while you were there, and how do you kind of feel about it now that it's over?
Okay, well, it became really fun to fantasize about, because we were going to shoot at this camp in Wisconsin called Camp Wandawega, and which has not changed since the 50s.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's Michelle's friend who owns it, and it's a fantasy land there's nothing older on the camp than, I think they said, the 70s. Nothing.
Wow.
And so that, having that location started everything for me. And then we picked the children, and we picked four kids. And I talked with Stephen and Courtney, my team, and decided that this should be a fantasy land. Like, when you're a kid, you think, oh, if there were no adults and we could just do whatever we wanted and like dress in what we wanted and ride in canoes and get dirty and just run around like crazy. And that's what it became for me, and that's how I. Oh, there's another fire engine. it became that, and then I got excited because we're gonna put them in furs and makeup as if they were doing it themselves.
Yeah.
So we got all the wardrobe together, me and my team, and the ideas and. Then it took about a month of planning and shopping, and then we headed out there, and I had my team, which was, you know, gave me a lot of confidence, and I knew, you know, we were all on the same boat. But we got there, and it was the first day of shooting. It rained nonstop, and everything was supposed to be shot outside. So I was very full of angst because I didn't know how I would get the shots. And it wasn't like we could cancel or postpone because the parents had come. I mean, it was a huge production. So I was very stressed out. And the funny thing is everyone was blissed out because it's such a magical place and everyone was happy. And, you know, the kids are getting to wear these cool outfits and run around. And there I am like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? It won't stop raining and thundering. And they're worried the kids are going to get struck by lightning. And...
oh my God.
But so it chopped down a lot of my shoot time to maybe about 3 hours. And I needed like 8 hours of shooting, but it worked. I mean,
wow. And so did anyone know that you were filled with angst and worry? And
no,
you just faked it.
Because I asked everyone the next day and they're like, we couldn't tell. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't.
The photos are amazing. And so are you so proud of yourself? Like you shot kids but you still actually had them in a show that I curated in San Francisco just in December. And we had some of your usual work with your beautiful, you know, sexy, vampy models. But then we also had a few of the pieces from Land of Nod. And they were all hung together. And even though the subjects were so different, you knew it was you. You know, you could totally tell that it was your work. There was no like, oh, you know, is this a different photographer? Like, it was so clear that it was you. And that's really saying something.
Yeah, thank you. And I owe that to Michelle because of Land of Nod, because she let me do what I wanted. And that was dress these kids up in these, you know, clothes and just go wild and have that 70s aesthetic. And maybe that's what it is. If you do let me do what I want to do,
yeah.
it'll come out. But if I had to do it like more normal or more current, maybe it wouldn't have.
Yeah. And I think that's where your anxiety was. Cause I think you were worried that they wanted to hire you, but then rein you in. And they didn't. Like, Michelle is she's such an art lover. And I just admire her so much for that she was like, I love this woman's work. Yeah. I'm going to let her do whatever she wants with these kids. the results are stunning.
Thank you. Yeah, she took a chance on me, and I'm so grateful to her. And yeah, and it worked. And now I'm like, oh, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, again, out of your comfort zone, but the result was fantastic. So,
yes. Yeah. It seems like when there's always a lot of anxiety about something, that's when it really comes out awesome. I don't know why, if it's like a superstitious thing with me, but if I don't suffer beforehand, it won't be as good.
Well, it's probably that you're putting so much thought and care into it that it causes anxiety. And because you're putting that thought and care into it, it's going to turn out great.
Yeah. It'd be nice to have a way where you don't have to suffer beforehand, but I haven't figured that out yet.
But then, Stephanie, you wouldn't be a true artist.
Right. I have to suffer.
You need to suffer and drink a ton of champagne. and then you make it big. There you go, everybody. There's the secret to artistic success.
Yeah.
Struggling and champagne. Okay. So the only thing that I want to do now is I call it the bonus round. Hi, me again. Just popping in to say that I did a bit of 60s movie trivia with Stephanie, and well, I didn't ask very good questions. So I quickly called her back for a quick little get-to-know-you speed round instead. Okay, back to it. Okay, so the last thing I want to do with you is the speed round.
Okay, the speed round.
Yep, so this is just a quick little way for us to get to know you a little bit better, super fast. Okay, ready?
Okay, ready.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Chips or chocolate?
Oh, both. One after the other.
Oh, nice. Favorite movie?
Oh, man. Blow.
Oh, good one. Greatest fear?
It's weird. I'm blanking out on fear.
Maybe you don't have any.
I get... attention. I think I freak out on attention.
Oh.
Or blindness. Blindness is my greatest fear. That's way stronger.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
And scary. And finally, because I think this is a hilarious question, if you could change your name, your first name, what would you change it to?
Xanadu. Not really, but that's what popped into my head.
That's a, I love that. That's what I'm going to call you from now on. Well, there you go. That's it. So tea, chips followed by chocolate?
Yes.
And first. Blow is a really good movie, too.
It's the greatest.
That scene when Johnny's walking in his white suit and his hair is flowing in the wind.
In the airport.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There's nothing better.
No. That could actually be one of your photographs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That made me love Johnny just a little bit more that day.
It's like the best movie. But then so sad. But the beginning is where it's at.
I mainly watch it for Johnny. But, yes. You know, what can you do? And so that's it. So now we all know you a tiny little bit better.
Well, thank you, Danielle. You're awesome.
Thank you so much. And thank you for taking time out to do this with me. It was so much fun. And
thank you.
Let's do it again.
Yes, I think we should.
Okay, deal.
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye. Bye.
There, now we're tied. Both of us pushed successfully out of our comfort zones. Although, as scary as it was, I have to say that I would highly recommend letting Stephanie push you out of your comfort zone. She is a genius with that camera of hers. Okay, with that, I will say thank you so much for listening. There will be more Art for Your Ear next Saturday. See you then.